As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode number 35 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I'm Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm the principal EOS implementer, as well as Colby and predictive industry specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners and CEOs of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven, and complete system for operating your company. This episode is the fourth in a mini-series aimed at removing some of the myths and misconceptions about the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. To do that, for each episode of this mini-series, I have invited a different practitioner of the art and science of implementing the system for entrepreneurial small to mid-sized businesses. Together, we will distinguish the why, the what, and the how of a particular aspect of the system through examples, stories, successes, failures, and a bit of explanation as well, of course. For today's episode, I invited my friend and colleague, Ed Callahan. Ed is a passionate about teaching, and yet life took him in a different direction after college, where, as an Army officer, he earned his leadership skills as a combat infantry advisor. He then spent the middle of his career in large U.S. corporations. He joined Sun Microsystems when they were just 2.5 years young and spent the next 10 years with them. Ed learned to change the wheels on a moving train at Sun, a valuable skill for any entrepreneur. He moved on to directly impact people's lives by running two small businesses, one with a $10 million revenue and then a $30 million company. Ed has experienced both the challenges and rewards that come with the privilege of being the final decision maker. Ed became a professional EOS implementer in 2009 and has helped more than 45 small businesses implement EOS. He also served on behalf of EOS Worldwide as the coach and mentor to other EOS professional implementers. Ed lives in Westchester, Pennsylvania, and he's married, has two adult married daughters, and five wonderful grandchildren. So welcome to Operationally Speaking, Ed.
Well, thank you, Sergio. It is a pleasure connecting with you again and working on the show with you.
Very much. I'm very, very pleased to have you, Ed. So now, some of our listeners may be familiar with EOS, but most of them are not. So let me take just a couple of minutes and set up a context for our conversation, Ed. EOS, the brainchild of Gino Wickman and outlined in his best-selling book, Traction, is a complete, well-proven, and coherent suite of tools and processes that enable owners, CEOs, and leaders get what they want out of their businesses by achieving three major outcomes, which we call vision, traction, and health. And by vision, I mean getting the leaders of the business 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and specifically how it's going to get there. By traction, I mean getting these leaders the disciplines and accountability mechanisms so they can all become masters of execution towards that shared vision. And by health, I mean getting the leaders to function as a cohesive, healthy leadership team and not just a team of leaders. At its core, EOS is all about strengthening exactly six components of the business. Together, these six key components form what we refer to as the EOS model. Really quickly, the first key component is vision. Now, we strengthen it by getting everyone in the organization 100% on the same page with exactly where we are going and where and how we are going to get there. Full alignment, I should say, that is. The second key component is people. We strengthen it by only having great people top to bottom. Each organization has a specific definition of what great people means and a specific structure to get it to the next stage. The third key component is data. We strengthen it by boiling the business down to good, hard data and running the organization through numbers that give us a pulse at any given time. The fourth key component is issues. We strengthen it by building the muscle of solving problems and tackling opportunities as a team by setting them up and resolving them once and for all. The fifth key component is process. We strengthen it by plugging in the business model, identifying a handful of core processes. They make up the way we do business and getting everybody to do that our way with consistency and scalability. And last but not least, the sixth key component is traction. And we strengthen it by bringing the discipline and accountability of execution throughout the organization. Now, in this episode, Ed and I will focus on the issues component. So let's get to it, Ed, shall we?
Sure.
All right. So let's start with essentially defining what do we mean by issues. Let's define it a little bit better, Ed.
Sure. Well, in fact, it's interesting that we phrase it that way. I mean, when everybody talks about solving issues in their business, one of the challenges I ask them to consider is that they're only looking at half the problem, so to speak. Mm. An issue, simply defined, is an unresolved item. So at the start of this, we should all of us remember that issues can be both things detracting from your success, things that you're doing incorrectly or suboptimally, or they can be opportunities you're not taking advantage of, places where you can invest people, time, and money, and you have to be careful about doing that. So I think that the outset, that's important to be specific about. They can be either. And I don't know, I think it's just our lizard brain, right? Our amygdala that makes us think of things negatively.
Absolutely. In fact, I encounter that with my clients all the time, and I keep repeating what you just said over and over, and often not with a great success because they automatically go to just the negative or the unaccomplished or the challenging part of their business, as opposed to also thinking about the opportunities and the new ideas that have. Now, and you know, we are going to talk about the issue issues component throughout this episode. But, you know, there's this kind of underlying fundamental question is, like, why is this important? What do you think is important for a business to actually even look carefully and address how they actually solve issues?
Yeah, well, I think the overriding reason why it's important is that it is left unresolved, left untalked about. I mean, let's start there, Sergio.
Sure.
You know, you mentioned in a summary that EOS helps companies do three things, right? Get alignment around vision, get alignment about traction, and to be healthy. And by that, we mean being willing to speak the truth when you're together, focusing on the business, and not to allow it to disturb you, undermine your thinking, create poor relationships. So the first thing I would say is that people avoid issues because they're too painful. They know that in the past this has caused hard feelings or it has disrupted the way we've worked previously. So my ask to all the leadership teams I work with is be as open and honest with each other as you can be. And hear both those sides, open and honest. Mm-hmm. Open to new ideas, even if it's not your idea, be calm
especially.
And listen. Especially, right. And honest meaning just say it, right? If there's something bothering you and you have legitimate cause to be bothered, say it. If you don't, all that's going to happen is you're going to revisit the issue over and over. So summarizing, it's important because it's a waste of time when people discuss issues but don't solve them. And it is challenging for them because of how painful it can be.
It always reminds me of one of my earlier clients who I worked with for about 3 years. And then they stopped being my clients through a very fortunate situation. They sold the company and their valuation was very high. And they attributed a lot of that valuation to the work we did to implement EOS throughout the company. But I remember early on, one of their issues was actually a very touchy one, which was one of the people that were sort of part, kind of a implicitly part of the leadership team, was this person who really was did not belong there, but she happened to have been working for the company for 25 out of the 27 years of history in that company. And the owner and CEO, the essentially the person in the EOS terms who became the integrator once we actually started implementing EOS, could not get herself to remove this person from the issue, from the leadership team. And every single session, every single meeting that they had was, you know, essentially running very slowly with a lot of disturbance because this person was constantly, you know, not operating at this level. It took a year and a half to solve this issue. And like you said, Ed, one of the reasons was that it was extremely painful for that leader, for the owner in this particular case, but, you know, in her role as a as an integrator, to just solve it, you know, in a straightforward manner, which she ended up doing that, but it cost her, you know, a year or so of essentially semi-effective meetings, including EOS sessions.
Right, right. Exactly right. I've had many examples like that. And you hear words like, but they've been here for 20 years, or they've been here from the beginning. I kind of owe them this. And what my passionate plea to people who find themselves in that position is, I understand that it's difficult, that it feels as if it will be hurtful, but consider the other fill in the blank, 50 people in your company, right? You are damaging their future by working suboptimally. And that sometimes helps a little bit, but it's always painful.
And what do you do when you have also an issue that essentially makes the, let's say, the CEO or the integrator or the visionary even, essentially blow up anytime that issue is brought up?
Right, right. And that's, of course, one of the key reasons people avoid it, right? Oh, my God.
Exactly.
You know, it's just going to cause screaming and yelling. We've been down this road before. And what I have found effective and helpful, and it's one of the benefits of using a system like EOS, is to talk about, we're doing it because this is the EOS process, not because I don't agree with you, but because we're meant to do it this way. We're meant to get to the root of our problems and then discuss them from experience and then solve them. We'll talk more about that later, but that whole idea of it's not me, boss, I'm just doing what EOS wants us to do, has actually helped many of my clients deal with a subject that they otherwise wouldn't kind of on their own bring in front of the CEO.
That's absolutely right. So we'll take a short break right now. When we come back, we'll talk, continue to talk about many other reasons why issues don't get solved. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Sergio Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-7000. 800-800-3132.
Tune in to The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Ed Callahan, implementer of the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. So before the break, Ed, we were talking about various reasons why issues don't get solved. So let's go to another reason, which is the perennial, well, we've tried this a million times and nothing ever changes. Why is that happening?
Well, I can think of probably two reasons that I see regularly. The first is that people start jumping into solving, put that in quotes in your mind's eye, before they actually understand the problem. I'll give you an example. And this it probably happened with every client I've ever had. And the simplest way to think about it is sales aren't good enough, right? Mm-hmm. Revenue isn't what we want it to be. And they immediately start solving. And what I always say to the clients is, wait, stop. Why? That's a symptom. That's not the cause of your problem. What is the root problem? Do we have the right products? Are they priced correctly? Do we have the right sales channel? You and I both and everybody else could come up with 16 more possibilities. Are we selling to the right people? And so on and so on. So that one big reason things don't get solved is we don't stop and get to the root problem first. Because if you do that, typically the solves are de minimis, one or two. It's only where we leave it broadly, amorphously defined that everybody can say everything for as long as you want.
Can I jump in and offer another example? Because I think this is a huge, you're making a great, great point here, Ed. And this is a huge issue. I was working with a marketing company at some point, digital marketing company. And they had an issue on the issues list called something like not enough capacity. I mean, people capacity, right? So they jumped on doing that. And I did exactly the same thing that you're mentioning. You know, it turned out that actually that whole issue was just a symptom. The real reason they didn't have enough capacity was that they were trying to actually run essentially two businesses in one. And so their core focus, to use the EOS term that we spoke in the vision component, was not really a focus, was kind of a bifurcated, even though it appeared to be the same thing. But they had this other kind of side thing that they were trying to build, and they're trying to finance that and then put people there by having these other clients here. It was a mess. So until they solved that problem. They had been they would continue to be chronically understaffed. They actually stopped that other sidebar kind of business, all of a sudden, oh my God, half of our capacity issues went away. What a miracle.
What a miracle. Exactly. And, you really kind of touched on one other issue worth mentioning, or one other why things don't get solved, and that is people take on a massive problem. An example that I can think of is I had a mechanical contracting company who maintained inventory of parts of things that they needed to go solve problems for their clients. And it's a 20-plus-year-old company, and they had admittedly, and they said it out loud, they had really lost control of their inventory. And so in one particular year, several years back, the goal was to, quote, fix inventory. But the way I just said it is kind of where they started and tried to articulate a solution from the outset. And if you've ever been exposed to inventory problems, they are broad and they are deep. I mean, they go from everything are we entering the inventory correctly? Are we maintaining it in the warehouse appropriately? Are we, in fact, recording the usage of that inventory and all the myriad processes that go with it? The point I'm making is it's one of the reasons things don't get changed is people try to eat the elephant in one swallow instead of dividing it up in digestible chunks. So I just offer that up as another classic problem.
So actually, kind of moving a little bit off the what, meaning the complexity or size of the problem, and moving a little bit focusing a little bit of the who part of this reasons, the many reasons issues don't get solved properly or don't get solved at all. We're talking about, of course, accountability. That's kind of a key word in our world of U.S. companies, right, Ed? So how does accountability or lack thereof contribute to why issues don't get solved?
Yeah. So, you said it at the front end, we work with small to medium businesses. And one of the kind of ways I ask clients to think of this challenge is, as assuming they have all great people, and certainly everybody intends to, as a small business is scaling, whenever a problem confronts the company, good, really dependable people will leap up and, to use an old example, put their finger in the dike where there's sprung a leak. Whether or not it is their responsibility, they'll jump in and do that. And just like that Dutch boy, it sticks, they can't get out. They're caught. And so even if it's a sales issue and this happens to be a finance person, they're now got two different people or two different departments focusing on clients as time goes on. So this whole notion of solving problems is really dependent on having perfect clarity about who is responsible for what. And accepting the old adage, when two people are responsible, nobody's responsible.
Absolutely. That always reminds me of a client where, the company has grown and the integrator is one of the co-owners of the company and the visionary is the other co-owner. So, so I was doing, I was auditing one of their 90-minute weekly meetings, what we call the level 10 meetings in the U.S. world. And I was, all of a sudden, they were IDSing, they were actually trying to solve an issue. We'll talk about IDS in just a few minutes, but they were trying to solve an issue, and all of a sudden I heard something very bizarre, which was, the integrator took upon himself to do an action that was a marketing issue. So I stopped them and I said, wait a minute, who's responsible for marketing here? And they looked at me and said, so why are you? But I've always taken care of these things. And that brings us to a different kind of all meta issue, if you wish, Ed, which is this inability of some entrepreneurs to actually let go and trust that if they have somebody responsible for an area of business, let the person do their job. Now, if it's not the right person, then you have to take a different action, but don't try to fix that by intervening or meddling into somebody else's accountability. I'm sure you have lots of examples of this kind.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. It is, you know, classically small businesses, everybody does everything. And when it comes time to delegate to actually let go of those things that you can do, but aren't all that great at, or at least don't really enjoy, but you could do them. Clients don't take the time to sort out all the responsibilities they had when they were in their first year of running the business, and now they're in their 10th year, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about, in fact, it's a great tool for clients. If there's an idea of elevating to your unique ability, a great author named Dan Sullivan has talked about.
Yes.
And I'll give a short version of this. Imagine a window pane with four quadrants. And what Dan says is the top two quadrants are things you love to do and are great at and things you like and are good at. And that's where you should focus your energies. And the bottom two quadrants are things that you are terrible at and don't like to do. And mostly we can avoid that. The challenge in most companies is people get stuck in that fourth quadrant, rather. Things we can do but don't particularly like, but we've gotten trapped into them. And so taking the time to think about where you contribute most and accepting the fact that while it takes time to train other people, it's the only way you can scale your business. And I see that all the time.
Absolutely. It's actually kind of sometimes painful to watch some of that stuff happening. And, you know, I encourage, I mean, this is one of the tools that we provide as part of the US toolbox. We call it Delegate and Elevate. And
right.
I often notice it's very early in the process that I strongly recommend that each member of the leadership team actually use the tool. They go off and literally there's a whole process that they go through to use the tool. And then about, you know, maybe two quarters later, I ask them, you know, so has anybody done this? And it's almost never that I hear a 100% yes across the leadership team. And that's actually very, very unfortunate that, you know, the people kind of let the history, you know, kind of decide for them what's really the right job or the right set of accountability or responsibilities, instead of actually them knowing and being fully self-aware as to where their strengths are and what kinds of things that should ultimately delegate over time. And I think that some of it has something to do with almost like the fear of discovering some of that stuff and not being kind of comfortable with admitting, don't you think?
Oh, I do. And I mean, we're all just human beings. And I tell clients that you're just like everybody else. But if you start within the context of the accountability chart, and we should point out to our listeners that it really all does start there. Early in the EOS cycle, we take the time to challenge them to write very clear definitions of who's responsible for what in a perfect world. I always tell clients when you're doing this, imagine you had all the time, money, and people, and perhaps a magic wand, right? But design the future state and then work towards it. And then as you pointed out, getting there, particularly for early owners who kind of identify their company is their life, that's a psychological problem that takes sometimes more than we have to offer. It may take some counseling because they're so self-identified with the work that they do, it is difficult for them to let go. So it's a complex problem. We appreciate the challenges, but EOS will give them the tools if they'll take the time and understand they can only grow if they delegate and elevate.
Absolutely. So we'll take another quick break right now. And when we come back, let's actually turn our focus, Ed, on talking about issues and how we actually handle issues in the context of the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Sergio Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Ed Callahan, implementer of the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. So, Ed, we've been talking about why issues don't get solved within entrepreneurial companies, small to mid-sized companies. So let's talk a little bit about issues themselves and what EOS provides to actually handle this this issue, this meta issue about not solving issues, right?
Right.
So, first of all, we know that there are several categories of issues. What categories are we talking about when we speak about categories of issues?
Right. So, and maybe it'd help, but let me respond to that by saying that it's important for our listeners to understand that issues exist at various levels in your company. Exactly. And what we want to assure our clients to do is to categorize them or group them at appropriate levels. So the senior management team, department heads, and maybe sub-teams. So what I'm about to say about categories of issues have to be considered in the context of the appropriate issues at the appropriate level. So right. That said, my advice to and this is really comes straight from the brilliance of Gino Wickman. He's always said, and he says it in Traction, that there are three kinds of issues generically. Mm-hmm. And those are issues that when you are sitting opposite from a person, whether that person reports to you, is your peer, or is your superior, you both should come to agree that there's only three types of issues. Issues that the person you're talking to has to solve. So imagine for a moment, I'm the CEO or the integrator, if you will, and this is one of my leaders. So from my point of view, either an issue, it's an issue they have to solve. If they're the right person in the right seat on the accountability chart, then they get it and they want it and they have the capacity to do it. I trust them. They should solve it. I shouldn't try to solve it. The opposing or diametrically opposite version of that is that this is an issue only you can solve. Maybe it's a salary issue. It's a fundamental structural issue in the company, that kind of thing. It's not a departmental issue that that person runs. So those should be clear, and we need to work our way to make sure that the one or the other of us are dealing with that. We're not solving each other's issues. But the last is the most difficult type. And those are issues that can't be solved, at least at the moment. And what I mean by that is at the size you're at, it might be wonderful to go out and hire a head of marketing. As an example, you mentioned that problem with that one client you had where he was doing the work of the marketing, but they can't afford it. And so there are people in the company, the sales team is frustrated. They think you should be doing more marketing. And the head of sales comes to you and says, come on, boss, you got to solve this. And what people sometimes do is they punt. They try to say, well, I'm going to fix that as soon as I can. I'll get back to you. Mm-hmm. And what they really need to say is, Harry, I know it's a problem. But at our size, we can't afford to do it yet. The best we can hope for is in 2019 that we'll be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Let's creatively figure out how we can work our way around that. And those folks who can't bring themselves to do that are destined to relive this problem over and over. So just to recap, problems you solve, problems they solve, problems that can be solved, and make sure you have them in the right group.
Exactly. And we use a tool, if you wish, or actually a fairly simple, obvious tool. But, you know, in fact, in many companies, when I introduce that, they look at me like I just told them for the first time about sliced bread, because it's so simple and yet so key, is that issues have to live somewhere. And that place that they live in, it's called an issues list. It's as simple as that. And, you know, people think that they can memorize and they always can have those issues on their mind. And that's exactly what slows them down. Instead of actually having this container that's well managed, that there are rules on how things get added to it and how things get removed from it. So they are not, you know, we don't just remove something because, well, you know, we don't feel like solving this issue anymore because, I don't know, it's been there for too long or we are scared or whatever the feeling of the moment is. But we actually follow this discipline of managing this issues list. And of course, as you mentioned, you know, issues get solved at various levels within the organizations. So the at various levels, there are separate issues lists. You know, the leadership team feeds off or solves their issues off a issues list. And, you know, the marketing department solves issues of its own issues list, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes things get moved from one to the other because essentially through the mechanism of delegation, obviously. But also we compartmentalize these issues not only from that sort of spatial way, but also from the perspective of what is it that we are going to focus on this quarter and what we are going to not focus on this quarter. Because obviously, you know, often issues lists, you know, kind of grow and they can become actually kind of overwhelming. And, you know, facing a 72 item issues list can be daunting and very difficult to manage. Well, in fact, only 15 of them are things that we are actually committing to solve this quarter. And by the way, why is a quarter or 90 days, more or less, so important in EOS, Ed?
Well, I think, again, tipping my hat back to Gino, you know, what Gino recognized early on is that most human beings, all of us psychologically, can really, quite frankly, come to grips with and stay focused on things for about 90 days. And conveniently, of course, that happens to be what the world of accounting likes, 90-day quarters. So it's a nice synchronization between psychology and accounting. And the context for all of that in EOS is that, and I wanted to share this one other thought of a way to compartmentalize issues. We talked about them vertically, right? Leaders, department heads, and individuals. Right. Well, there's time as well. You mentioned the what I would call the you know, the the interim component of quarterly, and that's the world we live in, the 90-day world. But we teach people to keep issues in four compartments, exactly. 1 year annually. In other words, issues that are big enough that it's going to take you a whole year to solve, you're going to deal with them in terms of your annual plans. Then, as you just pointed out, there are the 15 or so from your list of 72 that you might pick to work on this quarter. And then there is, in your weekly L10 meetings, kind of tactical stuff that pop up that you will solve and live in a weekly world. And then the really important part, there's the stuff, as you just said, that we can't get to. You know, we call it the long-term list, and we have a discipline of purging ourselves. We don't have enough money, time, or people. Let's try to think about it next quarter. And that's very freeing if you can stay disciplined and do that.
Right. So moving off that topic to the next piece, which is sort of the how part of this, businesses are composed of people, and often lots of people, right? So solving an issue on your own is hard enough. But then there's this whole discipline of solving an issue as a team. And EOS, again, brilliantly, has created this tool, this technology, if you wish, of solving issues, which we call IDS, which is an acronym. So, Ed, tell us a little bit about IDSing.
Yeah, so IDS is brilliantly simple. The acronym stands for Identify, Discuss, and Solve. And a great way to kind of visualize the proper way to use this discipline is to picture, I always draw a very large capital I on the whiteboard.
Yep.
And then to its right, I write a small lowercase d, and then an arrow and a medium-sized s.
Yeah.
And the what this represents for my clients is in the I part of an issue. And assuming, by the way, quick comment back to those lists, you don't solve issues in sequential order from the top to the bottom. Whenever you attack an issues list, you first prioritize it. What's the most important thing for us to solve and work on that? So then with that as context, you come back. And now when you do the I, you should behave like a five-year-old and ask why five times. What's the root? See my comments earlier. Remember my comments about sales. What is the cause for bad revenue? You know, pricing people, whatever. Right. So I, root cause, root cause, root cause. And when you can finally no longer find the answer, another why, you're probably down at the root cause, right? Then and only then you move to D for discuss. And discussion, if you've done root cause really well, is brief. Because at the point of view, let's say it was sales and it was a person issue. We had the wrong salesperson. Well, two choices. Train them up, let them go. Right. But if you had started in this amorphous world of we didn't know what exactly what it was, it'd be 33 choices. So that's why this small d. And the key is solve. Not just discuss, solve it. What is the action we're going to take? In what time frame are we going to take it? Who's going to drive? And what are you going to do? And we put that on the weekly to-do list. So you have this nice closed loop. Root cause analysis, I. Brief discussion, D. By the way, 100% agreement or the integrator chooses, more in that if we have a chance, but we don't have group discussions and voting. We all agree or one person chooses. And then solve. And I always tell my clients, something is wrong if you stop talking and don't assign a to-do. That is the key sign that you've actually not solved, or if you have, it's not going to get done.
So Absolutely.
That's the process. Go ahead.
In fact, I tell my clients all the time, and especially when I attend or audit their level 10, their weekly meetings of the leadership team, is that, you know, there is no such thing as IDSing. And we use in the US world IDSing as a verb, even though it's obviously not a verb, because we want to emphasize that we're not just discussing stuff. We are really, really going through this process. And I tell them that essentially, if you're not IDSing, if you don't come up with at least one to-do or one action item coming out of it, it's basically you haven't finished your job. So keep going. Yep. Keep going until you figure out what is it that somebody is going to do about it. So we'll take another quick break, Ed, and we come back. We'll talk a little bit more about IDSing, and we'll sum it up. All right?
Sounds good.
Don't go away.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Sergio Semel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Higher education faces lots of changes. If you are a student, educator, or in the workforce, you'll want to tune into Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Your host, Dave Goldberg, and his guests will explore the innovations that higher education adopts as it reinvents itself. The world of higher education is constantly changing. Stay on top and stay ahead of the rest. Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Ed Callahan, implementer of the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS. So Ed, before the break, we spoke about this technology, which we call IDS, or IDSing, which stands for identifying, discussing, and solving issues. So first of all, I have a question for you, and I'm actually kind of looking at your wisdom and long experience in dealing with clients for whom you're helping implement EOS. Why it so happens that most teams, not all, but most teams have a real difficulty in the beginning actually getting ideas well implemented in, you know, even in the leadership team?
Right, right. Well, there are myriad reasons why, but let me try to just point out one or two or three that happen everywhere.
Sure.
So first of all, just tip my hat back to the get to the root cause. I would tell you that's, to me, way at the top of the list. People don't actually get to the root cause, or they never really solve. That's probably one. The second is, in a company that hasn't created this team honesty that we talked about right at the beginning, vision, traction, healthy,
exactly.
There's a lot of politicking goes on. People are trying to get their point. When we say politicking, in it, the nicest way is that You come to the meeting to discuss a problem, and you have in your head what you think is the right answer, and you offer it, and nobody picks up on it. And so you wait briefly till somebody else speaks, and then you interrupt because you figure, I just have to say it louder, and now they'll buy into it. And right. That's the polite way of politicking. The worst way is when you're trying to, you know, create strife between your department and another, and you want to come out on top. You're not thinking of the greater good. You're thinking of you or your department.
Absolutely.
Right? And then it takes a leader to keep the discussion controlled, assuming all good intentions. People are passionate. They do want to get to the solve. But one, the leader, typically the integrator, but certainly what we do, you and I, when we're there as a professional implementer, is to say, look, everybody needs to get to speak. And it's easier for us, the outsider, to say, wait. We've heard you, Harry, even if that's the owner, by the way. We've heard you, Harry. I think what you said was this, correct? Okay, you don't need to say that anymore. And I write it on the board. And the rest of the team relaxes a little bit because they couldn't say that, right? And then it's to say, so, and then get the quiet guy to speak up, or the quiet person. You know, Mary, we haven't heard from you. What's your point of view? Only from experience, though, right? We don't want people just hypothesizing answers. We want them to speak from experience. So I think all of those things, politicking, not speaking from experience, somebody dominates the conversation all the time, those are all the things that get in the way. And I tell all my clients, it's hard to have a disciplined, directed, solving, IDSing set of actions that resolve key issues. It's tough to get that right, but boy, when you do, it changes your company forever in a really positive way.
And to build up a little bit on what you said, Ed, I'm going back to this issue of trust. You know, as the trust starts building, and of course, as you and I know, we have specific and explicit mechanisms in the implementation of EOS to build up that trust. We do it through what we call trust builders, and we start that in the first annual planning session, and we continue from then on in various ways. But once the trust among the leadership team members starts going up, somehow miraculously, their ability as a team to IDS well, to follow the disciplines, to not let the often, and I have a couple of clients in mind right now, let the owners go on tangents and start, opine about their philosophy while everybody is like, trembling in their seats, not saying anything, and essentially hijacking the whole meeting in useless and actually kind of counterproductive ways. All of those things start diminishing and sometimes even disappearing. So, and to that point, one thing that I point out to people, not necessarily in the leadership team, because that rarely happens there, but in the teams underneath, they sometimes say, well, but we don't have any issues on the issues list, and this is what I call issues underwhelm, right? So I tell them, that's not your root cause. The root cause is that your people are not feeling open and honest to actually bring issues to the table. Now, if you were to go and coach the department head, if you were to go to have one-on-one conversation with each one of these people and you ask them, what's not working in whatever you are doing, wouldn't they give you a list? Well, how come that list is not on the issues list? Because they don't have the practice and the comfort and the trust to actually put it out there. Now, of course, we also experience the other end, especially at the leadership team level, but even below, which I would call issues overwhelm, where the issues list gets like overly long. So how do we deal with that, Ed?
Yeah. So a couple of things, and particularly so let me insert a little advertisement here for one of my favorite authors in life, Patrick Lencioni.
Yes.
And suggest to our listeners, if any of the things that Sergio and I are talking about are reminiscent of things that happen in your company, then a great resource is one of his most famous book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Right.
It's a business fable that really starts at the beginning by pointing out that, as Sergio was just saying, you've got to build trust, because in the absence of trust, then people are unwilling to talk to each other. They're unwilling to have conflict. And in the absence of conflict, nobody really makes a commitment to getting things done. And if they don't make a commitment, they won't be able to be held accountable. And as I said earlier, sometimes people do all of these things and they're really not acting for the greater good. So go there. To come back to your question, overwhelming is when the list is too big, is to accept the fact that that'll be true for a while, and see my earlier comment, pick the most important. Don't start at the top and work yourself to the bottom. Secondly, make sure that you're not dealing with all the issues that you're delegating away, because it may not be a leadership team issue. It may be a departmental issue. So take that off your list. And then there may be issues you can't fix, and accept it and speak the truth to everybody. We don't have the money yet. We're going to park this. It'll take us another year before we can afford a CFO. We can't go there. Right? So there's a number. It all starts with just speaking the truth. He talks about Lencioni says it's vulnerability-based truth or trust. And by that, I mean the ability to say, I don't know, I need help, I screwed up. If you can say those things in your team, whatever level your team is, then your trust is where it needs to be. If you can't, you have to work on it.
And Ed, unfortunately, we just came to the end of our conversation. And thank you so, so much, Ed, for being my guest here. And thank you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. If you found what you heard on this show helpful, point your business friends and colleagues, point everybody to Operationally Speaking. And if you listen to us on our webpage at voiceamerica.com, don't hesitate to click on the banners to get your free consultation on how to turn your business vision into reality right now. Or send me a request at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. You will be surprised by what's possible, and I promise you'll never regret that call, ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and happy week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.